Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Still want to be a head coach again someday.
If that's in the cards for me, then that's great.
Bye-bye.
Who are you talking to? I got 5 Super Bowl wins. Who are you, Josh? The reason you got a job is because of me.
It's quite fascinating. What a failure. A road game in Miami could be the difference between home field advantage and a road game in January.
Do the Dolphins beat the Patriots this weekend?
I don't think so. Chalk that up as a loss.
Suck on it.
All right.
Have the Dolphins been a good football team?
No! Stop it!
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have lots of Lose Guy from Miami. What the hell's the guy's name, by the way? I don't even remember the name. I keep on calling him Lose Guy.
Defoe. His name is Defoe.
Jeff DeForest.
Jeff DeForest.
Yeah, oh, I like my guy.
Defoe in the morning.
I keep on calling him Lose Guy because Lou does an impression of him all the time.
I miss him.
I'm already pissed off.
So we're going to check in with him a little bit later on because I think he's feeling real cocky about this game on Sunday.
You know, he's feeling cocky and he stole our bit.
Well,
that's a problem.
That's a
lot of things.
Should be flat.
Should I feel happy about it?
No, not happy. But flat.
Trolling our show, stealing our ideas, just acting like they came up with it.
Flattery. That's how it
it's Serling-esque. I'll give you some of the numerology on this because
there he is.
I can't
right
wait.
There. It's my.
this is where Lou.
That's my guy.
If you've never heard Lou's impersonation of Defoe,
of course
we play Defoe, and then Glenn and I have a conversation while Glenn imitates Defoe from Miami.
Shouldn't we be having annoyingly friend
doesn't
Christian
stop talking?
4 a.m.
Right? Is that the way we're gonna do it? So how about Nathan Eovaldi? Hey, Glenn, what's your thoughts?
Boston.
The Forest Files.
Didn't I say we're going to get to this guy?
You can't help
DeForest
it.
Like, gonna get to
it's like Lou's
trigger. We'll get to football.
They're not even thinking about it.
Okay, here's how I get Lou back. You ready how I get Lou
Nathan
back?
Eovaldi.
Hey, Lou, good news. We're starting with the Red Sox on the show today.
Holy shit. What the hell is going on here? What is today?
It's a mistake.
Is it December? What are we doing?
Nathan Eovaldi, 4 years.
Nate?
$67.5 million.
Wow.
Got almost $17 million a year.
Wow.
And
how
why
about
not?
It?
Why not? He was terrific for his last five starts in the regular season. The first few were not real good.
Yeah.
And then he was great in the postseason, and everybody's euphoric, and everybody,
woo-hoo,
you know, we had guys crying. You know, players were crying.
Championship.
Of Nathan Eovaldi and what he did.
Yeah. Yes.
But wow.
I'll say this.
That's a lot of money.
4 years, 67. I don't like it.
You what?
I don't like it.
It's too much money.
I just don't like it. Now here's the thing. How do we want to play this game out? Because I can already see people right now racing to the phones and being like, I don't like it. It ain't your money. Okay, it's not my money. It's not a salary cap league. You think you're gonna get that back in this investment? I don't. I love Nathan Eovaldi. I loved what he did last year. Would I like him on this team next year? Yeah, I probably will. Are you gonna get your return on a 4-year deal? No, you're not. You're not.
Yeah.
I was just saying, what's he going to do?
Here's the question I would have, guys. So they gave him 4 years, $67.5 million-ish. Initially, we heard there were a lot of teams involved. And then in the last few hours, what did we hear? That the Red Sox might have been the only one willing to delve anywhere near a 4-year deal and $70 million. If that's the case, who are they bidding against?
Well, it's also true. I think when teams say that, you know, it's all they get. You know, they're in communication with agents, and they're like, listen, man, I want to be truthful with you because I got other clients. He wants to go back to Boston. He's going to go back to Boston. You know, and they're probably going to be willing to give him that 4th year. So, you know, the Yankees are kind of holding back. You know, they're maybe a little stubborn, whatever you want to call it. They don't want to go 4 for Eovaldi. They don't want to go 6 for Corbin. Showing a little restraint, the New York Yankees. But do I like Nate coming back? Yeah, I said yesterday, 3-40 is probably where he's at.
Right.
And quite frankly, if you go back to when this postseason started, it was, all right, if they play the A's, is Eovaldi going to be out of the bullpen? You know, if they play the Yankees, is Eovaldi start because of his success? Well, they played the Yankees, so Eovaldi started, he dominated, had a great run. So if they played Oakland, is he out of the bullpen and gives you like a start maybe against Houston and $17 million? You know, another one, is, you know, Joe Kelly, where does he fit in this bullpen? Next thing you know, he's out there going to get $10 million. So a lot of it is timing. I get it. I like Nathan Eovaldi. What concerns me is this guy throws 100 miles an hour, and he had arm troubles. I just don't think you're going to get a return on Nathan Eovaldi
for
even a couple years.
Three different times. So if they had paid him $40 million, I would be sitting here today, 3 year and $40 million, 45, let's say, 43. I'd be sitting here saying, okay, got him for 3 years. Let's see how it goes. When you say people, and people will call us today and say it's not your money. But when you're sitting here,
and there's no salary cap, so God bless them.
Yeah, but when you're sitting here trying to evaluate what this team can do and the ability that they have to do other things, you're going to hear the Red Sox unable to do certain things because they don't want to delve into the luxury tax. They don't want to. So you have to think of money.
When you guys think about like signing players, do you think of it solely as a fan? To where you're like, you know what? I don't care.
You can't do that.
But as long as you get him. In other words, what if you found out that the Red Sox just signed, Manny Machado? Would you? Now, you might hate him personally, so maybe he's a bad example. You know, whatever it is, right? Maybe you just signed, let's imaginary world,
Bryce
Mike
Harper.
Trout. Mike
oh,
Trout.
You hate
love,
him too.
You love Mike Trout. Somebody you don't hate.
Okay.
Would you like Mike Trout in the Red Sox? Absolutely. What if they told you it was $45 million a year?
No.
For the next 10
years.
No,
because it...
which is it? Can I look at it as a fan that, am I happy Evaldi's in this rotation next year? Yeah, I am. Or do I look at more as like management, future building, or financials when you got a lot of things going to happen next offseason and sit there and say, man, you just spent $17 million on a guy that I just don't think is going to be there for
you. That's why you have to think of the money involved. You can't because they are. So they have just overspent for Nathan Evaldi.
No. Okay.
They overspent for him.
No, they didn't.
And it may prevent them from doing stuff next year when there are other players that they need to sign.
This is absolutely an overpay. So hate it, right?
I don't like it.
Hate it. Okay, yeah. Love it.
Okay.
How about that?
Go
love
ahead.
It.
Give
and
us a reason why.
And if they did overpay pay him, how much?
Hate's a strong word.
Okay, you don't like it.
Yeah, hate
Ordway hates it. You just don't like it.
I don't
How about
like
that?
It.
You feel safer that way?
Don't like it is a better word.
No, I don't like it. I mean,
there's
no
hate in the world.
I mean, why would I
that?
Hate it? I mean, you come out today and say, I absolutely hate this signing. It's not the worst signing in the world.
No.
You don't hate it. I look at it from, here's what I hate doing. And this is the problem at these middle markets, these teams like the Royals and these middle market teams. Well, you know what they do? They overspend for mediocre talent. They overspend for the middle of the road free agent because they can't get anybody else in there. So they'll grab a guy like Irvin Santana and give him like 6 years, $84 million. You know, well, whatever. You know, like 6 years, $70 million. Or some of these pitchers that are just middle of the road or hitters that are middle of the road. Jay Bruce's of the world. Whatever. And you're like, yeah, it's only 13 or 14, but you spent the middle-of-the-road talent. That's what they are. They're mediocre. Now, this is only a four-year deal, but I still feel like Nathan Evaldi, does he have the potential? Is the stuff there? Obviously, it is. Is he the same guy if his fastball's 96?
Well, I
97?
Here's the thing. So, Ordway is saying that they overpay.
They overpay for him.
Okay, so if they did, how much do they overpay for him by?
A year and about four per.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. See, I would say they overpay everybody. So he is getting right in line with everybody else. And I don't want to hear the risk. I don't want to hear people talking about risk. It's risky.
Everybody.
It's risky. The Red Sox, did they overpay David Price? Yes. Did they overpay Rick Porcello when he was in the clubhouse for a hot minute?
No.
Yes. He gets $20 million a year.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Yes, they did.
No.
Did they underpay Chris Sale? Yes.
I disagree with you.
He's the only guy that's underpaid.
I disagree about David Price. So
hold on. Wait a second. Can we go back in the way back machine? Because I swear to God, you were on record saying
David Price signing.
Hey, oh, you're full of crap, Ordway.
I like
you.
You are full of crap.
I don't believe
it for a second.
No, the discussion,
not
Glenn,
even
was
close.
That the discussion was that they completely overpaid.
They did overpay.
They blew away St. Louis. It's the reason why he came here.
Yeah, do you think they overpaid?
Here's the difference between David Price.
The answer, and they probably overpaid him.
Let me finish.
I'm already irritated.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Because baseball is your sport.
It is my sport. I was better in baseball than I was football for a short period of time in my life. My nickname was Rhino. Okay, if you can figure that one
Rhino?
Out.
What?
Rhino?
Yeah, my nickname was Rhino.
Really?
Because I was tough as a bull and strong as a rhino. Yeah,
so,
it's a long story.
Go ahead. Talk about this one.
So if they overpaid, $2 million? I think they overpaid Nathan Evaldi, probably about $2 million. But that was the price of doing business for a guy that saved your ass. And the core wanted to sign him. The team wanted to sign him. Ownership wanted to sign him. He earned that money.
It didn't matter
that they overpaid for him. It didn't even matter that they weren't even competing against anybody. They identified him. They wanted him on the roster. He had proved that he was a badass. And you know what? And I would say you had just as much risk with David Price, Chris Sale, Rick Porcello as anybody else. He fits right. He could just get right in line.
And I'll tell you why you're crazy. Because Chris Sale has an entire history, an entire career. We know what he is, what he can do over a long period of time.
Let me finish. Chris, hold on.
Let me finish, Rhino. Rhino, just sit there.
Hold on.
Rhino?
Rhino. Just sit there, Rhino.
Great. Imagine being on the mound. Being on the mound, and like your coach is sitting there going, come on, Rhino, right down the pipe. And I sit there, and I get into my set, and I just drill. Woo, we win. Rhino.
Yeah, my thing is...
Okay,
so,
hold on.
David Price has a history, okay? He has a history of winning Cy Youngs, being the best pitcher, being one of the best pitchers in the game. Here's what you get with Nathan Eovaldi, and I loved what he did down the stretch in his last five starts. Before that, go look at what he was. Nobody was excited about Nathan Eovaldi here as a starter. He looked awful when he first came to Boston.
Well, his first two starts were dominant.
And then what happened?
Well, then he disappeared.
Yes.
And then we're thinking about putting him in the bullpen.
Right.
And then it was a matchup situation.
Right.
And it was like, they should just use him for an inning, let him throw 100, period.
Right.
And now he's getting $67 million.
That's the problem I have, Christian. And look at his career. He's gone through two Tommy John surgeries, and he's also had another surgery on top of that, another procedure. He had 1 year in which he dazzled for the Yankees. And what did the Yankees end up doing? They ended up letting him go. Mm. So if you look at it, there's no history here. He's 28, going to be 29 years of age, and he's done it for 1 month.
That's fine.
So and I'll give him all the credit in the world. His timing couldn't have been better. Congratulations to him, and he seems like a wonderful guy. Players love him. Seems to be a team player. So congratulations for getting all that money. But there's no history. There's no resume to give a guy $70 million.
If you were paying him, worked it out to be $20 million a year, I'd say, okay, you went overboard.
You're right there. You're at 17.
But the fact, see, to me, there's no reason for you guys to be uptight about this because it's not uptight. It's a sports show. We're all coming up with positions.
Rhino?
Rhino. I'm working with Little Earl.
I'm working with a mouse and a rhino.
And Little Earl.
Little Earl.
What a freaking crew this is.
The new name for the show.
Yeah. I don't feel like they, since they weren't competing against anybody, they didn't go crazy. What they did is they gave him a little bump for the effort.
You made $2 million last year.
Yes. Are you kidding me?
Look, he made $2 million this year.
Right? He earned it.
Christian,
hold on.
You're right.
This is the way these things work. See, you look at it in a way he didn't prove anything. He doesn't have a track record. And you could sit there and like Bradford did and give an example of Larry Brown, the cornerback for the Dallas Cowboys. But I'll say for every Dallas Cowboy Larry Brown guy, there's like 15 other guys that hit free agency at the right time, dealt with injuries, overcame them, struggled through this season. They were patient with them. They figured it out. And when they needed him most, he delivered.
Name them.
That is worth.
Name all these guys
Bill,
that have done it.
No, Jim,
listen, here's the thing. So,
Steve,
Hank was definitely one. Daniel Murphy he gave one.
I remember when the whole thing started, I'm
Big
like, man,
Hank was
they,
one.
They really need to bring this guy back and have some stability for the next 3 or 4 years in the rotation. That's the first original thought. And then my thought was, does that really make your rotation stable for the next 3 years or 4 years, Nathan Eovaldi? My feeling is they talk about the Yankees, they don't want to go 3 years. I don't really think that they were really in on him in a big way. Because I think the fear for the Yankees would have been like, great, we won the bidding war with the Red Sox. We've pulled Nathan Eovaldi away from the Red Sox. He was the hero. He killed us in the postseason. And then my fear is that in July or August of 2019, we sit back and realize we got Nathan Eovaldi. The guy that we had before, who was okay. He was okay for them before he had Tommy John, the second one. The velocity and a guy that relies so heavily on it. With two Tommy Johns already, the history. I saw Alex Spears saying, there's no, the risk is this and that and everything else. I just look at the pitcher himself. Part of me started to feel like, you know what? We should just pat him on the back and say, thank you for an amazing, amazing run. If it gets up to 17. And part of you is correct, Christian, because I said like 3-40, right? It went 4-68. They didn't go 4-80. You know what I mean? I know they're close. 17 is close to 80. I get it. But they overpaid. They didn't go ballistic. I don't know. Everybody's so excited for Eovaldi to come back here, which I understand why. But if it was 4-80, was there a cutoff to where people wouldn't have liked it?
No,
were
I think
400. I think people have still been 500. Have people been okay?
When you came up with the 3 and 40 yesterday,
14 a year. That
made all the sense in the world to me. So what people are doing is it's the last thing they've seen. The last thing they saw, Nathan Eovaldi was the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, because what he did is not only did he go out there and start for you, he came out of the bullpen, and he came out of the bullpen in a one road game you lost, and he pitched his ass off for a long period of time. All right, yeoman's work. It is incredible what we just saw. But now what you're doing is you're taking a Pablo Sandoval. You're taking a guy who dazzled everybody in the postseason. And you're giving him, in that case, they're giving him a lot less than Pablo. They gave him $100 million. You're giving a guy, based on what he did in a short period of time. We are literally talking here, guys, about 5 or 6 weeks. His history does not show you that. He's well below 500 as a pitcher. He's well into the 4 ERA
category.
It's
really more about 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
You might be right.
Yeah.
But the sentimentality, I'll guarantee you, when we go to the phones, people are going to love the deal, because you don't have the World Series championship without Nathan Eovaldi.
Well, again, no, they'll love the deal.
You don't.
They'll love the deal. Just like I said, you know, if I think they would love the deal if it was 500, just because they're getting Nathan Eovaldi back on the baseball team. So I don't know. People out there, do they just think like that? Or does anybody ever sit there and say, all right, 17 for this guy? You know, we got this guy coming up and that guy coming up, and what are you going to do? Is Sale going to walk? What about Mookie? What about Xander? Where are we at? You know, relievers. And the reason why I threw out, like, say, 13 to 14 million is because I felt like that's like a 3-year deal for like a swing guy, and which is, I think, maybe what he's going to end up being. I don't know. You know, a starter, maybe reliever. Will he eventually just be a reliever?
Well, you paid him as a top of the rotation guy.
Well, not top. No way. Not even close. You know, but
sure you did. You paid him a top rotation. You paid him 17.
No, he's not top of the rotation.
You don't think that's a number two guy in your rotation?
Not now.
Well, right now, he'd be three. He'd be number three.
Hold on. Maybe not with the Red Sox, but with a lot of teams out there in Major League Baseball. Matter of fact, in Tampa Bay, he was the top of the rotation guy getting what?
My biggest fear is I felt like you went fishing in a middle market's pool. Will they overpay mediocre guys and they try to hit? You know, they try to, like, get the guys on an upswing. You know, you see it. I mean, God. Some of these teams, you know, whether it's like, you know, again, I just think of, like, Minnesota. You know, I think of Kansas City. And they're trying to sign these middle-of-the-road guys or Seattle, and they're trying to find it. And I felt like you just did that.
So what is he? Is he what they paid? Or is he the guy that I'm looking at on Baseball Reference here, and I'm looking at his entire career? Miami, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Rays, and finally the Red Sox. Is he this guy that's below 500? ERA of 4. He's had one great season, one really good season with the Yankees, but he's had physical problems left and right.
Well, here's the problem. Here's what he's not. He's not what he was in October. Would you agree with that?
Yes. On a consistent basis, yes.
But he doesn't need to be.
I think people.
But they paid him like that.
But last view of him, that's exactly who he is to a lot of fans.
Right.
So he is the guy with a 1.61 ERA.
You know, but see, here's the thing.
You know, he's definitely not that.
You can't even, like, I wouldn't even compare him to Pablo Sandoval. Like, I wouldn't even do that. Would you say
they paid him $100 million?
Would you say that you kind of. What's the biggest difference between the two?
One guy plays a lot. The other one doesn't play much.
No, but I would say, as far as attitude, personality.
Oh, they're completely different. I'd much rather have Eovaldi.
It's not even close. And I would say that does play a big role in it.
Well, yeah.
It plays a huge role in it.
When they brought Pablo Sandoval here, they were dressing
you like
up.
That
they
deal
dressed
too?
Up.
You like
they
that.
Dressed
you
up a mascot.
You like that
because
deal.
They thought he had a personality. I hated the deal. At the time, hated it.
But you loved
because
David
to me,
Price.
To me, what Pablo Sandoval was he was a guy who did it for a short period of time. He was a singles hitter coming into a ballpark where you need to hit doubles.
I get it.
You know what they did, Christian? They paid, if you think they overpaid slightly, you know, which I do, I think it's uncomfortable. I don't think you can get the return. What they paid for is chemistry. What they paid for is the kid himself. And with this group, they love this group.
Yeah.
Right? Steve Pierce loved it. Not much. Easy one. Eovaldi, you know, where should we go? Where should it be? What should his market be? Okay, but we really want him back. We love everything about him. We love how he works with the rest of our rotation, you know, just the personality himself. So they overpaid a little bit for the person.
A little bit.
In the mix.
Yeah. And yeah. I feel like... No. And
based on
me,
your number yesterday...
So that's why you don't hate it. But
they overpaid by like 40% if you're looking at what you were saying yesterday. And I agreed with you yesterday. So I can't the next day sit here and say, well, they paid him a little bit. No. He went from 40 to 68 million. That's a big difference.
No, it's
a huge difference, guys.
No, there's something to retaining your own guys, which I do think they paid for. Mm-hmm. As far as a list of things that they wanted to get done first, what Pierce was actually first, wasn't
Pierce
it?
Pierce is a no-brainer.
I know,
it's
but my point
deal.
Is that one was easy. They got to lock him up real quick.
It's a no-brainer.
But Nivaldi was probably the first thing they wanted to get done. And I'm not surprised that they said, you know, we're going to give you a little bump. Because we don't want to fart around. We don't want to.
It's not
you know,
a little bump. Where do you keep on saying a little bump? He made $2 million last year.
Oh, wait, hold on. So what? This is the way free agency works, guys. I mean, I don't know how many times you've been a free agent, but it's all about timing.
Never.
It's all about timing. No, three times.
See bump timing over there, Lou.
You can have a crappy. I get it,
Christian,
right?
So I'm not.
You can. I know you're looking at his old career. It's like, this is
you're
risky.
Looking at. You know what you're
he's
doing?
Had all these surgeries.
You're
putting I don't know.
No, you're putting yourself in the position of Nathan Eovaldi.
No, I'm not.
And I'm agreeing
no,
with
I'm
you.
No, I'm not.
It was great timing for Nathan Eovaldi.
I'm not putting myself.
I'm saying
in
that when you
his nickname is not Rhino.
I'm saying that when you do deals like this, when you're just basing it on the last thing you've seen. Okay,
and the moment.
You're playing sentimentality here.
No,
usually these deals are not good.
No, I'm
usually
not saying
vastly.
Listen, can we all agree? Like, there's a risk associated with any deal that you do, especially somebody who's coming off. I don't need. Listen,
he was 6-7 this past year with 111 innings. Okay, with an earned run average close to 4.
So you think he's going to be?
Innings.
You think he's going to be more Larry Brown?
I think
Brown
if I'm paying a
who?
Guy $17 million a year, I want to get close to 200 innings. You're not going to get close
you know,
to 200 innings with
you
this
don't
guy.
Know what you're going to get. And like Lou said, if he may be the ultimate swing man. You know what? He may be that.
So
Swiss
why would you spend $17 million if you
Army
don't
knife.
Know what you're going to
he
get?
He may be that Swiss Army knife that just kind of makes everything tick. And we all know how valuable the personality, strong personalities, chemistry is, especially with this team. More than anything with this team,
yeah.
What they've been through, how they came up.
Okay. That's not the issue, though.
Now, so I'll say this. Now, and I don't know how, like you said, maybe it's swing. Maybe it's to keep an eye on them innings. I don't know. But, you know, when it comes, a guy like Rick Porcello, right, who's making whatever it is, 21.5 this year.
Right.
I didn't like that extension, you know, before he even threw a pitch
right.
His first year here. And I look at it now and you say it's 20, he's making $20, $21 million. Here's the one thing you love about Rick Porcello. The last 3 years. 33 starts, 200 innings.
Yeah.
Like 191, 203, 223. So, you know, look
it's
at
like
the,
Gronk with attendance.
There was a
Christian.
Cy Young there.
No, you're just.
There
you're
was
just,
a World Series MVP. So, as a starter, like if I'm concerned about my rotation moving forward, you know, I'd feel better about a guy that I feel like can give me starts, like a guy like Porcello.
Yeah.
Eovaldi, I don't know. What'd you just spend for a reliever? Eighth inning guy?
Had 111 innings last year.
I just worry about
right, so
the velocity uptick. You know, the velocity where he is at, man, 100, 101, 102. That thing is beautiful. With that cutter, it's outstanding. Our history of arm issues. You give me 96, 97. We were as effective as we once were?
No, he's not effective at all.
I don't know. Hey, we'll find out here soon enough.
So when a guy...
It's uncomfortable.
So when a guy's had those type of physical problems and he does it over a short period of time, then you're taking a real risk if you're translating those numbers and saying, we're going to do it over a four-year period now. He's going to be like this for 4 years. I think it's a huge overpay and a huge risk.
What do you think the value should have been then?
Lou brought up 3 years and 40 yesterday,
so
and I thought
and
that
40.
Made sense. That made sense.
So that wasn't
you're not
going
to get him.
You're not
going to
get him. We don't know that.
No. Yes, you do.
Where was
you
the competition?
It's too early. The competition hasn't. They're not even getting lined up. What they did is they probably talked to him right away. Listen, we're first on deck. All right, we're on deck. We want to hit first. All right, so we're going to come at you. We want you to stay there.
Yeah,
don't bother
I'd
going
like to,
back and forth.
I'd like to hear if they were bidding against somebody. Because if you're just throwing it out there, and Lou might be right, they might just have fallen in love with this guy. Sounds like not only was he a team guy, he was kind of a leader, maybe in the way that he approached it every day.
People
and
are
they
crying,
loved him.
Glenn.
And they, right,
They're
they were
crying,
crying
over him.
Well, it was Porcello.
Charter member of the Prisoner of the Moment Club.
So they may have just fallen in love with this guy. And I think when you do that and just fall in love with a guy and you're basing it on a very short little snippet in his career, that's not necessarily the most rational way of negotiating and doing a deal.
If he wasn't a free agent, obviously things would be different, but the timing forced you to make a tough decision. It forced you to have to overpay for a guy that you love and that you do believe is rounding the bend, has overcome all his injuries. See, I would bet
Christian, they have to pay a lot of people in the next couple of years.
Welcome to the major leagues. Welcome to the Boston Red Sox. Of course, they got to pay everybody.
There's still a limit.
Of course.
There's still a limit.
Of course there is.
You just can't. You don't have an open pocket book where you can pay
everybody.
You're
acting like they overpaid this guy like by, you know, tenfold. They didn't.
They overpaid him
by
about
$40 million. I think they overpaid about $2 million. And it wasn't like, it wasn't overly.
You're forgetting
about
the 4 years.
Okay, so good. I'm glad you brought that up.
You're
so
forgetting about the 4 years.
Does anybody in Major League Baseball ever see their last year of their contract? You think David Price is going to see year six or seven? Like, give me an NFL contract, a basketball contract, where the guys, all the money's front-loaded or it's back-loaded in the NFL, and they say, you know what? We're not going to pay you that last. This is really a three-year deal in my book. It's not a four-year deal.
The fourth year, you get nothing from it.
Yeah, they threw the fourth year in there.
You're going
just
to do that,
or whatever.
I mean, it's so common with this club for that reasoning, but it's like you just can't keep doing that. You know, I mean, you can't just right. I mean,
what are you going to give Joe Kelly now, guys?
Well, I mean, no, you're going to be looking at a lot of these relievers that you're talking about, whether it's like Robertson, Familia, Joe Kelly. Who are some of the other guys? Herrera might be like a one-year deal because he had some physical issues. Andrew Miller. All in that 2 years, $18 to $20 million deal, depending where their market is. 9 to 10 a year, right? So it does. You start thinking about the decisions they have to make, and you say, welcome to Major League Baseball. Everybody comes up. This core is coming up. That's the issue.
You have to think of that in the equation.
Core. In the core, meaning Sale, Mookie, JD. Jamie Martinez is a free agent next year. Everybody keeps talking about, it's a possible opt-out. He's a free agent after this year. Just like Chris Sale is, just like Porcello. Mookie be a year away. Xander be a year away. That's your core.
Yeah, but you can't pay everybody.
Yeah, but Eovaldi's deal isn't going to be the backbreaker. You think Eovaldi's deal is going to be, you can't sign Mookie.
I didn't say backbreaker.
Well, you're acting like they got to pay all these guys.
Christian, if he falls apart, and I'm looking at his career, you're taking the last 4 weeks you saw him. Look at his career. There's no stability there. He's never had it in his career. You're basing it on the last 5 weeks and hoping and praying that he's going to do that next year, the year after, the year after, and the year after. If he doesn't, you've got a hole in that lineup. If Lou's right and the velocity is down to 95 or 96, he's a different pitcher. You're paying the guy getting nothing in return, and you got to pay these other guys.
Every single pitcher has similar issues. At least, do you trust David Price? Think about David
Price's
years here.
David Price came here with a track record.
I could get it, fine. But after his first year, like, what the hell?
No.
Personality issues. Chris Sale in September.
You're right. Everybody has risk, especially now. You know, you can give me the greatest staff going. What was it? The Mets, right? And you can say, they're all great, great young arms. They're going to be outstanding. Yeah, I know. Two of them got Tommy John. One of them guys got this. One guy's got that. Next thing you know, they're not that good anymore. So you could be a 23. You could have all 23-year-old studs, 24-year-old studs, and they could all blow out. But there is a difference, though, right? Like, in somebody, say, like Porcello, again, you know, I keep bringing him up because the one great thing about Rick is that it's 33 starts, it's 200 innings every single year. Could he get hurt? Absolutely. Is there a better chance that he gets hurt? Or the guy that has two Tommy Johns and doesn't really throw more than 120 innings a year over the course of his career? Like, where's there more risk?
Well, wouldn't you say this? The Red Sox being a high revenue club can afford to take that risk more than other teams?
Yes.
So they're built to a different standard. They can withstand, you know, major issues, contracts that don't pan out, guys that get hurt.
They do.
This is the way.
They've carried a lot of dead money.
I'm not sitting here looking for more dead money.
They don't need more dead money. Dead money eventually catches up to you. And the problem you're going to have is you're going to have to pay Bogarts here. You're going to have to pay.
Yeah, but his contract isn't going
to
be the reason why you can't
Martin.
Pay him. Look at what they're going to have to pay Mookie and JD. We paid freaking Eovaldi so much damn money.
Christian, if Eovaldi
pitches. Do you think that's the difference?
If Eovaldi pitches well over the next 3 years.
What if he's average?
I'll give you three years. If he pitches well, he's got to be better than average. Can't be a .500 pitcher. He can't be a fourth or fifth guy in your rotation.
I'll tell you this. If he's consistent, you know, if he gives me 175 innings
over the next 3 or 4 years, you know, if he's a 4.2, then you're good.
So you can't sit here, though.
I just don't know. I think the upside, I think he could be a guy, you know, that could be like a 3.7. I mean, he's that got that kind of stuff. It's just that he's just not going to be there for you. You're not going to be able to rely on him.
Right. And that's if you're paying that much money, I think you want
to about a lot of guys.
I think you want to be able to rely on the guy. And you keep on saying the Red Sox can do whatever they want.
No, that's part of it.
You look at all of the contracts they have to deal with in the next few years, and guys they're still going to carry money on, including the second baseman. All right? You're going to have to make some hardcore decisions. To me, this decision was made more on boy, he was great over the last month.
I think that's part of it.
Right.
But as opposed
to his career and his durability and the innings that he's given you in the past.
But it's hard. Like, you can, like, treat him like a stock, okay? So if you bought low on Nathan Eovaldi, it's paying dividends big time
right now.
Let
me ask you.
So
now you have to.
You just overpaid.
No, it's split.
No, it isn't. You got him. Hold on. In the last year, you paid.
No, you
$2 million.
You paid $2 million.
You paid.
No,
what
that's your benefit.
No,
budget.
You didn't pay $2 million. You paid what was left on $2 million.
In 2018, right. You had stock in Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah.
When the World Series is over, what do you do with that stock?
I cash it out, baby. I'm
you
moving to Vegas.
Skippy. No, you sell out. You get out of it.
Right.
And you say
you got
thank
it back.
You very
or,
much.
You
for
got it back
money
or, on the stock.
Or thank you much. Very much.
Or you double down. And you wait for it to split because that's how much value. No, I'm saying, well, you don't know.
Christian,
no, maybe that's not even close to being its peak. Maybe here's the thing. See, he has so many red flags based on his injury history. I can easily understand why people would be skeptical and skittish about it.
Thank
right?
you. This you is have, history.
I get it.
You go on the percentages.
Okay,
risk versus reward.
That is fine. Okay, you're willing to risk it at $10 million a year. Right.
I'm willing to risk 12. $3 and $40 million. I said that.
So right. $12 million a year.
It's more than that.
You're willing to risk $12 million a year. I would say based on and I kind of agree that would kind of be the sweet spot. But I think based on the circumstances and where he was and everything that went into it, they said, you know what? We don't want to compete with anybody. We're willing to kind of pay him a little bit extra. No, he probably doesn't deserve it. You know, we're probably overpaying him a little bit. I think they flirted with overpaying him. But they didn't quite go straight to the edge.
We got
to
take a break. But Christian, here's all you have to
Rhino.
Know. Rhino.
Don't alert.
Rhino. Here's all you have to know. Go back and look up these stories and try to find any one of these baseball writers that follow this stuff that told you that he was going to get 4 years and 67.
It doesn't matter. How often?
Hold on. Let me finish
all
the point.
Time.
Let me finish the point.
I'm not doing any research.
And Lou knows this because Lou's been talking about it. He's been throwing dollars out there. Nobody has flirted in that area. Okay? Everybody thought his value was far less than that. Far less than that. Matter of fact, we had people who thought maybe he could be your closer. If he's your closer, we're talking $10 million,
$11
million.
And they also said the bullpen sucked, okay? Give me a break. And
so now suddenly he gets 4 years and $67.5 million, and people want to say it's a great deal?
Oof.
Well, why weren't we talking about this before?
I don't think it was a great deal. I think it was
a
good deal.
Let me tell you what a great deal is. A 3-year extension for $37.5 million. Those numbers kind of sound familiar, right? We were just talking 3 years, 40. 3 years, 37.5 for Carlos Carrasco
in
Cleveland.
That's a good deal.
Who is a better pitcher, in my mind, than Nathan Eovaldi.
Right? Yeah, but
who is a guy that gives you innings, that gives you puts up numbers to go along with those innings.
So
ERA of 3.5 or less the last 5 years has given you 30, 32, 30, 25 the last few years.
Doesn't even compare.
Back-to-back 200 innings, basically.
Okay, agreed.
Three years, 37 and a half.
And what they did is they picked up a one-year option and they extended
it
2 years.
Right.
Different set of circumstances.
And he's 31.
And you wouldn't have gotten him for that deal.
He's 31.
You wouldn't have gotten him for that. He would have left. He would have walked.
We don't know that.
Okay, and you don't know if he's going to be great or not. So I mean, none of us know a damn thing. And
that's the difference right there.
So what are we doing?
But you base it on history.
An extension.
So you base it on history.
You don't sit there and say
she's pretty.
You think she's
going to get cuter in the next year.
Oh yeah,
or two.
So you think
and
she's
I'm
pretty?
Pay the money.
You think she's
that's
pretty?
Right. That's what you're doing.
And then you turn the lights on. You're like ah.
Yeah, exactly.
Woke up sober.
Right, exactly what you're doing. All right, let's get to the phone calls and we'll get reaction. My guess is most people are going to love it. All right. Because the last thing they saw was Nathan Eovaldi was unbelievable, and there's no denying that. But is this really a good investment for this team? Especially when you hear what they did in Cleveland right now. All right, 617-779-7937. Load him up. We go to your reaction next.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
You know what's so cool about this, Ken, is that here's a guy going to be a free agent, doesn't know what his future holds, and he's like, give me the ball. Just give it to me. I don't care. And the club rewarded him. I love that.
That's Harold Reynolds. He loves it because I get it. From a player's point of view,
yeah,
it was nobody better or more important to the Red Sox success in the postseason than Nathan Eovaldi. So you feel good about the player because a lot of times players just have poor timing. You know, we've talked about those guys over the years. This is great timing for Nathan Eovaldi, and he's cashing in.
I love that.
But are they not going overboard when you consider that he gave you like 4 or 5 weeks of great pitching, but his career doesn't show that?
It's not like a gross overpay like Christian's saying. You know, they overpaid for the guy, in my mind, whatever, because it is free agency. Maybe there was a bidding war out there. The personality, the fit, everything that he brings, they love everything about him. They spent a little bit more than maybe they thought they were going to have to. But it's more the mindset of, like, you know, the fans when you think of Nathan Eovaldi. I guarantee Red Sox fans feel that Chris Sale is more of an injury risk than Nathan Eovaldi.
They probably do.
No. Because when Nathan Eovaldi came here,
they probably do.
When he got traded here, he was healthy the rest of the way. He was outstanding at the end of the year. He got strong. He won a World Series. He was dominant.
Not his history,
meanwhile,
though.
As a Red Sox fan, what have you seen recently? You saw Eovaldi. You look at him going, that guy ain't hurt. He's a horse. Nathan Eovaldi will never get hurt. The guy, look at him. Look how big and strong he is. Remember he went 6 innings in Game 3? 97 pitches? That dude's a horse. He can go forever. Chris Sale, I'm worried about him, though.
Yep.
You know, I think he breaks down. Meanwhile, when you look at the history of everybody, go ask Yankee fans about Eovaldi. Go ask Marlins fans about Eovaldi. But you haven't seen that yet. You think he's a horse.
So you tell me.
Okay.
So you tell me. Do you make a decision as an organization on giving a guy close to $70 million based on what you literally saw in a matter of weeks? Because nobody had him on the high free agent list. This was a guy that was making $2 million. Okay.
No, we had some guys that said he would make about just what he's making.
No?
Yeah, I have it right here.
Give me one.
I just brought it up.
Give me some.
It's for Mark Feinsand from Major League MLB.com.
Right.
I mean, he uses it now. You want to look at him, using him as a, you know, either a starter or a reliever, but he mentions Wade Davis, top reliever on last year's market, signed a 3-year deal worth about $17.3 million per year. Chapman, Jansen, 15 to 17 million.
Relievers.
So, and I would say,
Closers,
yeah. So you would sit there and go, I mean, he's kind of right on the mark based on what he accomplished. And to your point about Chris Sale, I would agree with you on the Chris Sale, because if you think about re-signing Chris Sale, I think people tend to think, okay, it's a David Price type of situation, 5 to 7 years, not 3 to 4.
More risk, more years.
Yeah, more risk, more money. That would scare me too. This is not as many years. It's really a 3-year deal. The fourth is just, okay, whatever, go play. So I can understand that point. In the end, Chris Sale should probably get a 3 or 4 year deal when
so
it's
we,
all said and
so
done.
So we looked it up.
But he won't get more than that.
Yeah, Jim Bowden was doing this.
I know, but you talk about, you know, what you're, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, I'm like, no.
Jim Bowden was doing this on a regular basis, top 20, top 30 free agents. And the first time he threw Nathan Eovaldi into the mix was November the 5th. So that was after we had seen him in the postseason. Okay. Before that, you go back and look at September 10th, for an example. So September 10th is really late in the season. He's not even in the mix. He's not even in the list
of
top
30,
35 free agents.
Like, if it was September, and if you remember, they bounced him to the bullpen. Part of that wasn't necessarily because of performance. It was like they wanted to see it. They wanted Erod back in that rotation, wanted him to give him some innings. But it was just some uncertainty going into the postseason. Is he going to start? Is he going to relieve? And then, boom, here you are, $17 million a year. You know, MLB Trade Rumors, which I love that site, they had him at 4 years, 60. So they're right around it. Now, when you say they overpaid him,
It depends on how comfortable they were. I mean, I imagine right after the season ended, they said, you know, okay, what's the starting point? Well, they might have thought 345, you know, 15 per. Well, you do realize that if you know, things fall and there's a lot of interest, we could have to go that fourth year. All right, what's that, 4-60? Are we comfortable there? They had to go to 67.5. So it's I don't know. Obviously, they did it. It's their money. They know their payroll structure. But I do think it was, you know, important to get a guy that like maybe more than a year with Porcello and Sale coming up. But I just don't know if this is the guy that you can rely on to be there for the next three or 4 years.
Maybe they do.
So here's what it says in this article. This is from October 29th. So it says, Eovaldi will be one of the more sought-after pitchers in the coming weeks and months, with some projecting him as a number two starter on the market behind Arizona left-hander Patrick Corbin.
Yes.
And Patrick Corbin signed 6 years.
140.
140, about $23 million a year. I would say they hit it. I would say, do you think they overpaid for Corbin?
I think they're banking on, like, he's now taking off.
And I would say the same for Eovaldi.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you can. I mean, I know you can say, you know, but basically they're doing the same thing.
But Eovaldi's shown this in the past. He shows spurts. That year he had with the Yankees, he was lights out. And then suddenly, boom, it went on him. There's no – if you look at Chris Sale, we can look at Chris Sale's history and we can say he fades in the month of September. All right, and in the past, he really hasn't been in postseason, but he fades in September. But we also know up to September, he's dynamite every single year. There's a track record. With Eovaldi, there's no track record here.
Yeah, and I think with Corbin has a better track record. Corbin has a better track record than Eovaldi.
Well, I'll say this. Corbin's put a few years together, and it wasn't just last year.
Yeah.
You know, and I know last year was his big year. You know, all-star, Cy Young, fifth in Cy Young. But you can go back 2 or 3 years ago, and he was an all-star as well. Then there was one injury that kind of interrupted really 2 years, end of one, beginning of another. But there's at least a history of 32, 33 starts. You know, do I feel great about Corbin's deal? No. If he went to New York, would I have gone nuts? No, because I might have thought, well, this is a typical guy, too, that had a year or two, and they're expecting him to take the next step and just doesn't.
Yeah, but this
you know
guy,
I mean? Could
guy,
it be Sonny Gray? Whatever.
Your guy
we'll
had
see.
A month. Your guy had a month.
And then Corbin, you're talking about,
had a couple of recent years.
Yeah.
I would have felt great if they're signing him to this figure, even slightly higher.
So
if there were the last two years, Lou, we're looking at Nathan Eovaldi pitching close to the level we saw in October. You really have seen him in five games, two as a starter, three out of the bullpen.
Before, because I was talking about, you know, getting in on Corbin. Now, 6 years to 140, whatever. Listen, you go by some of the early projections. It was 5 years, right around, just under 100. You're like, moving forward, you can get a guy. Because you said something about trading Porcello.
Yeah. Do you now?
And I thought that if you could get a guy for 3 or 4 years, you would think about it and have only one pitcher in Chris Sale up at the end of the year. You know, you move Porcello with some pieces. Maybe you just replenish a farm system. Maybe you just get a player or two that you really like. Maybe you add a Swihart to the mix. And you go to a team, and maybe you can get something in return to fill some other holes or future holes or whatever it might be. I don't know if you can. Because, again, I think you have to bank on those 32, 33 starts from Rick Porcello. Especially when you have, you know, Eovaldi, Sale, Erod. You know, I think you got that one guy. I think Porcello's the one guy I feel great about giving you 32, 33 starts.
So what you're telling me is you need Porcello because you feel confident, based on his track record, that he can go out and give you 30 starts.
Yeah.
You don't feel comfortable that Nathan Eovaldi can do that.
Why would I?
Okay. I'm agreeing with you, but I'm just saying that's the problem. That's the problem, Christian, I have with Nathan Eovaldi.
But
the track record tells me I'm going to get 110, 111 innings out of them, and there are going to be issues here.
Yeah, see, and I would say that Corbin, based on his track record, based on his longevity, got rewarded for it, and Nathan Eovaldi did not.
So consistent.
Yeah, so, I mean, it just...
What were those figures for Carrasco again, Lou? Give me those numbers.
3.37.5.
Okay, you ready for this? 3.37.5. These are the last five years for Carrasco. 17-10. With a 3.38, 18-6 with a 3.29, 11-8 with a 3.32, 14-12 with a 3.63. And you want to hear the innings? 192, 200, 146, and 183.
Yeah,
wow.
25 starts 1 year, 146.
Wow.
3 and 37 halves, a great deal.
Wow.
For the Cleveland Indians. Wow.
Try to compare that, and you can't tell me if he didn't overpay. Maybe he's going to be terrific. Evaldi's going to be terrific. They overpay.
But that's free agency and extension. That's the difference too, though.
Yeah, and I would say if he had anything similar to what Evaldi had, he would have doubled his money.
All right, let's get to the phone calls and we'll get reaction. Here's John in Andover. Hi, John.
Hey guys, Lou Rhino, Little Earl.
Yo, it's Mouse Rhino and Little Earl.
Yes, thank you.
I'm glad they signed Pierce. Obviously, he was a good fit, and I'm also like in between on Evaldi. I don't hate this deal. I don't love it. It's one of those things where I think Rhino was right. It's if you have timing and that falls in place like that, which he did, that's just what happens. He's going to get paid because he made a lot of fans happy. He made Boston happy. And chances are he's going to – how many contracts ever are these deals ever go – are a good return on value for 4 years? If you ask that stuff, you don't hear about those deals because – the only ones you ever hear about are the ones that go south. So the chances of Evaldi being good, he's younger than Sale, he's younger than Porcello, and he's younger than Price. So you got a younger pitcher, but, you know, you got some baggage. This is a good signing. There was really not a lot of I got to ask Lou the question. Do you think Carrasco was actually an opportunity or a possibility for the Red Sox?
Oh, no.
Oh, he had another year. They had an option. They picked up the option.
No, the Indians wanted to secure Carrasco, and now they're thinking of they're probably going to deal Kluber or Bauer or maybe even both. They want to get one of them. So now they might move Bauer, Kluber.
So I think this though. I think Cora had probably a lot of input on this because he wants to create a chemistry within the team. Yes. He wants grinders. He wants guys in there that can do what they did. And I agree with one thing. Evaldi is not going to see and Sale the same thing another season where Cora has the luxury of resting the guys as much as he. That last year was an aberration. You are not going to see the Sox do the exact same thing next year against these Yankees. They're going to have to grind and pitch way more frequently than they did. And you're right. They may break down. But ultimately.
Right, you know what, John, though? Here's the thing. That's with what you just said. Yeah. I think I disagree. I think you could even see it more.
I was just going to say that, especially with Sale.
I think you could see it more. I think, you know, it will be interesting next year in April because I think the approach will be that these guys won't throw a spring training game until mid-March. You know, upsides will be light. They'll continue to throw the B games in the back, you know, against minor leaguers. Remember that last year? I think that is a nice way to approach it for a casual spring training where Price goes out in the back or Evaldi goes out in the back and he joins like the A-ball team and they're playing Minnesota's A-ball team. And they're going to go 15 pitches per inning. And when they hit 15, I don't care if the base is loaded or not, inning's over. You know, and it's like just less stress on these guys.
Well, look at Sam.
And I think because of that, you'll see the month of April, you're going to see a lot of 70-pitch starts, 75-pitch starts with the idea of, once again, October in their thoughts.
They babied Sale this year, and guess what? It didn't work. They didn't baby him enough. He wasn't himself when you needed him down the stretch.
I think what you do with I think you have the exact same, let's call it 4 month approach. Off season, count the off season. 2 months of spring training: April, May, June. April, May. Same 4 month approach. And then in June last year, when he sat there and said, "Enough, I'm throwing 99," they'll be like, "No, you're not." Same approach. You sit there with a 2 ERA for the first two and a half months of the season. There's no reason for 99.
Right.
Let's just stick where we're going. We're going right at 94, 93 miles an hour. Forget about the Ferrari. Keep driving the little, whatever he called it, the family car. And we're going to keep you right around 94. You're going to have a 2 ERA. And then you know what? If you're feeling good in September, bring your 99 then when we want to see it later.
All right, we get right back to your phone calls. Your reaction to Evaldi being signed. It is a 4-year deal, $67.5 million.
Put the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
He's a guy that is a game changer. We know the stuff he has. He's actually, he got better with time. You know, he went through the process of mixing up his pitches, attacking guys in different spots, and can't give that much information. There's a lot of teams behind him, but hopefully, it happens, and he's part of this.
It's Alex Cora talking about Nathan Eovaldi. Alex Cora, by the way, was reciting the Night Before Christmas last night at the Pops. You hear that?
Was he?
Yep. He got that gig last night. He did it.
See, that's part of the victory tour.
That's right.
And how do you do?
It is part of the victory tour. Sounded good to me. A little bit of it was in Spanish. It was good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I think he did both.
You know, because what is that? You just kind of, really, you're just moving your hands around, right? They're not really paying attention to you, right?
Actually, it was Jerry Remy who was doing the conducting.
The baton?
Yeah, the baton. That's easy.
What is that called up there? Is it a
I think it's a baton. Yeah,
really?
I think it's called a, or
I don't know.
What is it called?
Drumstick?
I think you just said yes.
Symphony stick?
I don't know what it's called.
Do we have any idea? There's definitely a term that we're not using.
Right. Yeah. You can tell there's really a lot of knowledge in this room when it comes to this
stuff. There's no way it's a baton.
Yeah, whatever.
Something you throw around.
The conductor's little...
the conductor's
needle. Whatever it is.
Needle? Okay, get us the right term.
It seems like easy.
Needle. It ain't needle either.
Doesn't it seem easy? I mean, the musicians have a difficult...
Yeah, you lift it up, you point over there once in a while, you go with your bare hand, you go up and do this once in a while.
Do you think if you don't raise it the proper height or whatever, do you think like the violinist is going to?
Doesn't everybody already know their jobs?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Bad news. Glenn was right.
What's
it called? A baton. And the little wood handle is called a bulb.
Whoa! There you go.
Well, we didn't know it's called a bulb.
The bulb.
Yeah, I know what a baton.
No, that's just the handle, Christian.
Shut up, you.
God, the rhino's really struggling today. Here's Paul in Milford. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good, Paul.
Good, good. Listen, I think it's a really bad signing. Just I want to take a minute, if you don't mind, I'd like to just explain why. 4.2 ERA, you guys said, 2 Tommy Johns. Has anybody ever had 3 Tommy Johns?
That is a good question. They do.
If he gets hurt, he's going to be sitting on the couch picking his butt, and we're going to pay him just like, you know, last year, how much did we pay Sandoval, Castillo, and Pedroia? $40 million?
Yeah,
I think it was 70.
Yeah,
who's right around there? Who's counting?
So, but what I'm saying is another thing. You were mentioning Corey Kluber. The next 3 years, he's making 17, 18, 19 million per, virtually the same exact money.
Yeah, but he's not a free agent.
He's not. But there are no good free agents this year. I think we have so much talent that if Dave Dombrowski, you know, say he was on a team that didn't have money and he had to be a little more creative. Maybe he would be able to make a good trade. Maybe he's just not good at that. You know, like we could throw money around, but it doesn't matter.
You know, if he played for the Royals, if he played for the Marlins, some you know smaller market that didn't spend the A's, whatever, he'd be a Yankee right now. He'd be a Yankee. They would have paid him the $17 million based on that performance.
The Yankees already had him.
I'm saying
the Yankees knew what he was.
If no, they didn't know he was this. They screwed up. They messed up.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did. Obviously, they did.
How many years ago was he pitching for the Yankees?
He's definitely a different type of pitcher. You know what I mean? Like, he used to throw split a lot and sliders, and now it's more, you know, just power fastball cutter, the occasional changeup. So he's a different guy, but there's still a lot of history there. I mean, you know, you said bad signing. I
don't think it's bad signing. I think they overpaid him, Paul. You know, I think they could have gotten him for a better deal than this, and this might affect them. You know, going forward. And I'll throw it out to you. So, Craig Kimbrell, they just picked up, what was it, $16.5 million? Is that what the qualifying offer was? I don't even know.
$17.9 million.
Oh, even higher. Okay. So, you tell me. He's got a history. And the history's pretty good. Now, this past year, he wasn't as good as he's been in the past. But would you say that he's one of the best closers in the game?
See, yes. when you say Craig Kimbrell, I sit there and go, okay, he wants 6 years.
Right.
He wants 6 years. I mean, that's a no for me.
Well, he might
absolutely
not.
Absolutely no.
Well, he okay? might not get so, 6 years.
Do you think someone's going to give him, the Red Sox aren't going to give him 6 years?
No.
No, the Red Sox aren't going to give him
no.
6 years. We know that.
So good. You dodge a bullet with that
but
one.
The difference is
he's
that,
got a history, though. He's got a good history.
But the reason
that's
why,
a real good history.
When, if they don't re-sign him, Red Sox fans will be fine. Once again, the last thing you saw was what the hell is going on with Craig Kimbrell.
Bingo.
So it's like, you know, I don't want to deal with that. You know, and it's the last thing you saw with this guy was an absolute pig in the postseason. I mean,
but
he
even
was
with,
a stud.
Even with Kimbrell, though, even at, what is he going to be, 31, right?
He'll be 31.
He'll be 31. All right, so even with his track record, even with being one of the best closers in the business, 6 years, someone's going to pay for that. For what he did in the past, not what he's going to do.
Right.
I'd say you have a better chance of being rewarded by Nathan Eovaldi for the 3 to 4 year deal than you would Craig Kimbrell for 6.
4 year deal is not when I first heard the 4, I was wondering if it was like 3 plus an option with innings kicking in. But you know, they had to go four to get him, I guess. So 4 years isn't like huge risk. You know, I get that. You know, Rick Porcello, a four-year extension. Here we are in the final year. You know, I thought it was an overpay at the time. But, hey, listen, it gives you 33 starts a year, won a Cy Young, won a World Series. You'd look back and say, oh, okay, that was fine. I think Kimbrel's more like 5-80. You know what I mean? Will a team give him six? We'll see. But 5-80. But the point is the Red Sox fans are fine with letting him walk because of what they just last saw.
That's what we're doing.
Even though they won the World Series.
That's what we do. We take the last thing we've seen, and yet if you look at it and look at Eovaldi, if the Red Sox didn't play in the postseason this year, nobody is sitting there talking about, let's go out and get Eovaldi. Let's re-sign Eovaldi. You're not doing that, right?
Yeah,
you're basing it on five appearances in the postseason. Sometimes those things can be flukes. It's not like he's done this his entire career. Matter of fact, Kimbrel has a much better resume. He's a much better, lower risk going forward than Eovaldi is.
Okay, much better. At 3 years, yes. But he's not going to command that.
Well,
I agree.
You might be overpaying him, but I'm telling you, if you're talking about $16 million a year for 4 years for Eovaldi or for Kimbrel, Kimbrel is the better bet by far. He's done it. We've seen this. Would you be surprised if he'll be playing for another team if he's playing for the Mets or somebody else, and next year we're sitting here in August talking about, oh, my God, Kimbrel is just mowing him down. He is unbelievable again. Would that surprise you?
Kimbrel?
Yes.
But if I have to count on him, when you think about what he wants and what he thinks he's earned, okay. 6 years, but
Christian,
140, Christian, just like Corbin, but he's a closer?
We're sitting here saying that Kimbrel, and I'm agreeing, I'm not disagreeing with you, I'm not sure Kimbrel is worth the money he's asking for. And yet we do that, and the next sentence we're sitting there going, but it's fine what we paid Eovaldi, for 5 weeks.
You're
5 weeks.
Here's what your problem is. You're so narrow-minded.
Oh, I got a lot of problems.
You're so narrow-minded.
One problem.
That all you see is 5 weeks, 5 weeks. Like, look at his entire career.
I have.
And you could see, like, what you want to do.
I just compared it to Carlos Carrasco.
Okay, but Carlos Carrasco's problem is timing also. Put him in Eovaldi's situation, and he's getting paid triple that.
No, he's getting paid.
Well, you're not getting triple that.
He's getting paid a lot more. He's $23 million a year.
He's a better gamble.
Okay, fine, but he doesn't have those circumstances. He doesn't have those moments. That's just the way life is.
I would say the issue, like you said, 4 years isn't the biggest risk in the world. But when the guy's been basically the last 5 or 6 years a starter in this league, and only one of those seasons he went out there and threw the ball that would be acceptable to this mount.
That's all I'm saying.
One. I mean, you can look at Corbin and say, okay, I would say three of the last four.
Recent.
Three of the last five. You know, Carrasco, forget about it, all five. So, I mean, there's other guys you can sit there and say, okay. I mean, hell, even Jay Happ's getting absolutely no love, and I know he's 35, 36. But before Jay Happ jumped on the mound at Fenway Park and was shaken out there in the mound and got his absolute boobs ripped off, he was a guy that everybody sit there and say, Jesus, he's 35, but for 2 years?
And he was good against the Red Sox.
7-0 for the Yankees. He was dealing the last couple of years, and now he's just like no man's land.
Yeah. I don't think you can take the last thing you've seen. The Red Sox did that with Pablo Sandoval, and they paid the price.
See, I would say if you could.
They paid him a lot, $100 million. Here's Tim and Natick. Hi, Tim.
I kind of like that.
That's the phone system. It's not a good thing. That's a mistake. That's a problem.
So I think the Red Sox absolutely overpaid for Eovaldi. I mean, I don't think it's outrageous. And you guys are all right. Everything you've been saying, you know, it's the last thing they've seen. But I think what you're not also realizing is there's another 100-win team in our own division. And against the New York Yankees, Eovaldi in the regular season went 8 innings with 0 runs, 6 innings with 0 runs. And then in the last game before his warm-up for the playoffs, he went 2 innings. 1 unearned run, and then, of course, the playoffs, 7 innings and 1 run. So against the second-best team in our own division, he went 23 innings with only 1 earned run.
Yeah, he's money against the Yankees.
That's a huge factor when you're talking about the Yankees aren't going away. They have a murderer's row batting lineup, and it's all right-handed. You can't keep trotting out the left-hander. You need a power-pitching right arm to go against the Yankees 4 or 5 times in the regular season in the playoffs. I mean, look at Price. You know, our second best pitcher, Price, he had 15 innings pitched and 18 earned runs against the Yankees. You are overpaying for Eovaldi, but I think the Yankees factor absolutely played a part in it.
It did. It did. Will it be on the mound in August and September against him? I don't know.
Well, that's. I mean, I think he's going to.
Sure you do.
He's got that body frame. He's not frail like Chris Sale. I know he's had the two elbow surgeries, but I got to believe what the doctors are saying. This isn't like, what's his name, Pomerantz, when they had the medical report saying his elbow wasn't the same, and, you know, they still went ahead with the deal.
No, I know, but here's the thing. So he had two Tommy Johns, okay? One was even before the draft. Yes. So that's the first one.
Right.
So in 2015, when he joined the Yankees, the year he went 14-3 with a 4.2 ERA, he got shut down in September for elbow inflammation. Then he came back the following year with the Yankees, had 20 starts, and then he had Tommy John.
Right.
So 2015 was cut short because of elbow inflammation. 2016 was cut short because of Tommy John. He missed 17. So last year he joined the club in, end of May, I think, Tampa? So... Really, the last three seasons in which he has pitched has been, you know, whether it's elbow inflammation, Tommy John, starting seasons late, missing a whole season. So, again, do I like Nathan Eovaldi? Sure, I love him. Do I think you're gonna get 150 innings out of him in any of these 4 years?
Well, notice...
No.
You brought it up, and the last caller did it. He talked about the difference of him and Sale, talking about Sale's not durable because he doesn't have the body type. Yeah. All you have to do is go look at the history of Sale versus Nathan Eovaldi.
See, that's the thing.
Sale's been more durable.
People think Sale is breaking down more than this kid had in his career because it's what they've seen.
Right. Recently. The last thing they saw,
they didn't know Nathan Eovaldi before he got to Boston. So since he showed up, he was perfectly healthy. This guy's a horse. Yep. What are you talking about?
Yep.
All right,
back to your phone call, 617-779-7937.
The word they used was pristine.